Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. 9 o'clock hour on a Friday. You know that already. If you missed our interview with David Stearns, we will have that for you again coming up here this morning. Good stuff from the GM. Some interesting stuff being revealed about the arbitration hearing and how it went down. David Stearns not present at it for Josh Hader. Some interesting stuff coming out of that, which we didn't know at the time, but we will certainly talk about that. We'll have that before 10 o'clock, so some interesting stuff there. It is a commercial-free hour here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath here as well. And you guys, as always, at 414-799-1250 and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Ashburner joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Talk some Bucks. Sixers. Bucks win last night, 47-8. This team is. They've got the Sixers coming into town tomorrow. It will be on ABC. A handful of these games are going to be on national TV. The Bucks certainly, if you didn't think they weren't getting enough attention in the first half, certainly will be in the second half. Steve Ashburner joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Steve, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Hey, Ash.
I'm good, guys. You know, when they first took me up to hear your audio while I was waiting, I heard an interview with David Stearns, and I'm thinking, what year is this? Not to poke fun or anything, but it's sort of like, wow, that sort of took me back. And I forgot about the Brewers' connection with David Stearns.
Stern with an S and an A.
Well, I messed it up actually yesterday, yeah. Right after talking to him. So that is a tough one. David Stearns, that is a weird one.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, I just happen to be an NBA guy. But, yeah, I'm coming to town tomorrow. Sixers are going to be there, and me too. You're right. I think the Bucks have been, I'm not going to say neglected. I think they've just sort of been tucked away by a lot of national people who don't routinely come through Milwaukee. And I think that's going to change. It's obviously with this final third of the season and heading towards the playoffs, and once the playoffs hit, then you know it's showtime. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And their record is amazing. They've had a terrific season in what I thought would be a very difficult year to navigate. And so far, so good for those guys.
I just never seen anything like this in sports, Steve. And you've been around for a long time. You know, where a team has just been this dominant every game. I mean, they're going out and they're beating good teams, they're beating bad teams by an average of 12 points a game, and it's one of the best ever margins of victory in NBA history. But they're just so dominating. I keep thinking they're going to play a close game once in a while, but you know they blow it to a quick lead last night, and they never look back.
Well, and they're clearly an ensemble. I mean, yes, they have the the reigning MVP and very likely the two-time NBA MVP with Giannis. But he's not even averaging 31 minutes a game. And then you look at the rest of that crew and their contributors, and they're all around 30 or below 30 in minutes played. So they've got a deep roster, and that roster has been excelling in the regular season. Now, I understand the criticism, not only because people want to seem sort of more astute and in the know and want to find flaws, but I do understand any criticism in terms of, you know, how far the Bucks can take this, only from the standpoint that the regular season is not a great litmus test for what you have to do in the postseason. You know, you're playing, 29 teams on an almost random basis during the regular season, and when you have a distinctive style and certainly a nearly unstoppable player like Giannis, you know, when opponents face that, it's like, okay, we'll throw together a defensive game plan and we'll deal with those guys as best we can, but we have to go and play Boston the day after that and Miami 3 days later, and, you know, it sort of comes at you. I liken it to when George Karl had the Seattle teams, and they were almost pioneers in terms of their switching defenses. And it's like teams would get hammered by them, but it was like, well, we don't really play against that style very often, and we can't fully adapt to it in a 48-hour period since our last game. And so, you know, it was more of a novelty thing. And I think there's a little bit of that with the Bucks in terms of what we saw Toronto do, locking in that Eastern Conference Finals. And, yeah, they spotted the Bucks a 2-0 lead in the series. But then, you know, boom, 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 things changed. And that, to me, is the real challenge of this Bucks season. And we can't even get to it until late April and beyond.
Yeah, that's been one of the issues, you know, just being a fan of the team and talking about the team. Steve Ashburner joining us, NBA.com, is this season, while the regular season accomplishments are nice, 100 points here, 100 points here, 80 games in a row, you might win 70 games, this team's going to be judged how it does in the playoffs. And last year, it was some cold three-point shooting, it was some hot three-point shooting, and it was the Raptors shutting down Giannis and Kawhi winning that battle. But I think if you've got Giannis, I think what the Bucks have done is added some of the three-point shooting with maybe Wes Matthews and especially Kyle Korver. They've got Chris Middleton playing as well as he's ever played. They've got Eric Bledsoe, who he's got to show up in the playoffs. We all know that. And they've added some depth.
Right.
I still think that even if the regular season isn't the best determination, this will be a team that in the playoffs, I just think that they are better than these other teams in the East. One that does worry Bucks fans maybe more than anybody is the Sixers, because they seem, you know, you can put Embiid on Giannis, and you know, for whatever reason, the Sixers very good at home, not so much on the road. We'll see that tomorrow. Do you look at them as the team that if anybody's going to take them to seven or stop them as the team that could do it, would you throw the Raptors in that mix? Do you give credence to the Heat? If the Bucks don't make the finals, who's most likely to be in their way?
Well, I mean, the Sixers for their talent, the Celtics for their depth, and the Raptors for their experience. I mean, I look at those three teams in particular as the ones that any one of those could be a problem for the Bucks. Now, the Bucks will be a problem for them. I don't want to, you know, only focus on the half empty. But you can make a decent case for why. I mean, and you're right, Embiid and what happened on Christmas with Giannis and the Bucks in Philadelphia. They have added a couple of helpful players. I mean, Alec Burks last night against Brooklyn, it was Brooklyn, but, you know, he was a pretty valuable player late in that game. It was an overtime game, and he's a new Sixer. So they've got talent. They just have had trouble pulling things together, and certainly it's evident in the record how they play on the road. So if they're able to solve some of their chemistry and geography issues, yeah, they're a real serious threat. But Toronto, I'll tell you that the Toronto Raptors are not worried about the Bucks. Now, you know, they may, you know, that could just be hubris, or it could be some really deep-rooted confidence built off of last spring. And they feel that they're better, that they've filled in the gap that Kawhi Leonard left, And, you know, they feel that, that's not going to be a problem. Pascal Siakam has stepped up. I don't want to say not a problem, but they feel that they can eliminate the Bucks. And Boston, I think, is a better team without Kyrie Irving. I was astounded at the way Irving shot that team out of games against Milwaukee last spring. And he's not around to do that. They've gotten better just from that. And I think that they've come together over the course of the season. I think they feel they're playing, you know, at or near their best right now, and they can maintain that into the playoffs.
Yeah, there's something about the Raptors. You mentioned it there. Even like last year, I thought in that series, once they started winning a little bit, that they felt that, you know what, this Bucks team might be the number one seed, but we're not taking a backseat to these guys. We could beat these guys Pfizer form or right in our own building. I just thought that they, obviously
Nick Nurse,
same thing.
Yeah, their coach, Nick Nurse, I mean, right now he's my choice for coach of the year. And, you know, I think a lot of people in my position, the voters, feel that way. And his ability to adapt and try things and risk things. And, you know, a guy that will play a box and one defense, even if his brethren will sneer at that. And NBA players will call it a janky defense. I mean, he used it. It got good results at various times. And so Nick Nurse, to me, is a bright young light on the coaching scene.
Where do you put, and we'll ask you this question, this is one of our two go-tos when we talk to people about the NBA and the Bucks. One I already asked you, who couldn't stop them in the East. The other one, Chris Middleton, he's had a very good year. His stats, 20-plus points per game, the 50-40-90. Still, around here, he does not get the credit that he, I think, does on a national level. Without going through every guy, I mean, do you look at him, two-time All-Star now, do you look at him as a top 15 player, top 20, top 25? I mean, where do you look at when you're ranking guys just in your head where Chris Middleton ranks?
Well, you would think top 25 because if you factor in, you know, the two dozen players that were selected for the All-Star team, I mean, that gets you in the top 25, even if you're going to quibble and say there were three or four guys that, you know, might have had a case for being quote-unquote snubbed, it wouldn't knock you much out of that. And so top 25 is good. In terms of being, you know, sort of beyond that, better than that, I think, and I'm not sure that the national profile for Chris Middleton is much better or even as good as it is in Milwaukee, only from the standpoint that Giannis is such a transcendent talent. And he so typically has great games. His consistency, you know, makes him impossible to overlook. Now, there's been, what, six games where he has not played. And I'd have to break down Chris Middleton's numbers. I don't know them off the top of my head for what he's done in those six games, assuming he played, you know, all of them or however many. But I think you really reach a new level, even beyond All-Star, when people expect you to do what you do at your best. And I think at this point, if Bledsoe doesn't have a great game, if Middleton doesn't have a great game, people just look right to Giannis. And they don't sort of hold those guys as accountable. And I just think that that's sort of the test or the measure of, you know, a star, even a secondary star, is that, well, you got to do those things too. I mean, Scottie Pippen had to be Scottie Pippen no matter what Michael Jordan was doing. And, you know, I mean, we're talking gold standards there, but I think it applies. I don't think you can – your good nights can't be treated as gravy or a bonus, and your off nights be sort of shrugged off and people then assessing the star and did he come through, you know, did the MVP carry the team again? I think you just – Chris Middleton has to open eyes, you know, all the time and open them again and until they stay open on him, at which point then, you know, he'll be able to make a claim for top 20 or top 15.
You know, the West is, I mean, there's a couple of teams. You want to look at the Lakers and the Clippers, and I mean, Denver, I think, is good. I just don't think they're as good as the Lakers. Do you see anybody at all giving the Lakers a run in the Western Conference?
Well, the Clippers have beaten them. I think they've beaten them twice. Yeah. The Lakers haven't beaten them, and the Lakers have a very poor record against, you know, the top five or six teams in the league. That includes Eastern teams. Now you could say maybe, well, you know, it's regular season, so they're going to peak for the playoffs. But the Lakers have treated this regular season, and I give them credit for this, they've treated it with a seriousness, whether it's to build their pecking order and the way their team relates to each other, whatever it is, in a way that, you know, a LeBron team hasn't sort of taken seriously, you know, since about 2013, I think it is, when Miami was up in the 60 victories. You know, LeBron had gotten into that San Antonio approach of, yeah, let's just maintain the regular season and then we'll flip a switch. And San Antonio could do that. And sometimes LeBron's teams could do that. They certainly got to the finals year after year after year. But I think that the Lakers have tried harder this year, and they have not done well against the top teams, and they haven't beaten the Clippers. I think the Clippers have a ton of talent. Their challenge is just how they deploy it. You know, some of those guys might want more minutes, you would think, than they're going to see. And yet, if you take minutes away from Lou Williams, you know, who's such a game-changing offensive force off their bench, you know, or some of the other players, Patrick Beverley's defense, I mean, it's a you know, an embarrassment of riches type of thing that Doc Rivers has. I think the two LA teams both are the teams to watch out there. I mean, Denver's great, but they would seem to need another step. Utah, you know, is also an extremely solid team, but you know, solid doesn't get you to the finals.
Steve, appreciate it. Steve Ashburner, Ash NBA, NBA.com. We hope to talk to you soon and have a good weekend.
Yeah, you guys too. You're welcome.
Steve Ashburner will join us hopefully again soon, but he will be, as mentioned, covering the Bucks here in Milwaukee tomorrow with the Sixers coming to town. We'll have the post-game show for you after that, as we always do. And don't forget, tonight at Concordia University, it's the Milwaukee Basketball Hour at 6. Bill Michaels, Steve Novak, and Dante Trivincenzo.
He's the man. And I'll tell you what, you want to be the man of your household? BlueChew.com can certainly help you in that area. BlueChew offering man a performance enhancement for the bedroom. Last a little longer, go a few extra rounds. Maybe you want to, you know, get after it, man. Get after it and give your woman the treatment she deserves. BlueChew.com, your first chewables have the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Here's what happens. You go to BlueChew.com, you get online with an affiliated physician. They're going to ask you some questions, and you answer them honestly, and everything qualifies. You'll get prescribed online quickly. So that means you don't have to go to the pharmacy. You don't have to stand in line. You don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to have any of those awkward conversations. These chewables ship directly to your door in discreet packaging. Chewables from BlueChew.com, made right here in the United States, prescribed online by a doctor right here in the best country in the world. Blue Chew gives you the confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it. Now, here's the deal for you guys. Your first order is free at BlueChew.com. They want you to try it out. They want you to try it out so badly, they're going to offer it for free. You got to pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. Now, to get the free offer, go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Put in the promo code Chuck. My name, Chuck, Blue Chew. BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. And you're going to get that first order free when you use the promo code Chuck, and that is it. Guys, give this a try. Chew it and do it with Blue Chew.
And Steve Ashburner again joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
It's time to go inside the mind of Chuck Freeman.
Ugh, it's gross.
That's a scary thought. It's time for 5 for Freeman. 5 burning questions for Chuck Freeman. This is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We will bring you our interview with David Stearns, which we conducted yesterday. And then today, this morning, Ken Rosenthal with some interesting nuggets about how that Josh Hader arbitration hearing went down.
I don't like it.
I don't either. We didn't have the chance to ask David Stearns about that directly since we're just finding out now. But we'll hear from David Stearns. We did talk about the arbitration process, and then we'll tell you what the Brewers brought up in the arbitration hearing and why this system is junk and needs to go. That coming up as this commercial-free hour continues. Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath here on The Fan. But this next 10 minutes is maybe what these 5 hours should be about. Chuck Freeman and just Chuck Freeman.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. This is a great way to send us off to the weekend. Five for Freems.
All right, question number one. NASCAR saw a scare this weekend. Ryan Newman.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was dead.
It was great to see him walk out of the hospital a couple of days later with his kids.
Like nothing happened.
Yes. But, boy, these cars, look at the protection. If all cars couldn't be built that way, where you can get into a fiery wreck and survive it. I mean, it's amazing how some of these car crashes in Indy before this, but, you know, with NASCAR, and these guys are walking away. I'm just amazed. And they're going 200 miles an hour, too.
So if you were an athlete, and we can do this since he didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
If you were an athlete in one of these three sports, in which sport would you be the most afraid that you'd die? Normal boxing? MMA? So now you're adding the kicks. Or NASCAR?
Well, I felt we were in NASCAR. We were driving in Chicago traffic last week. I thought I was going to die there. I would say MMA.
No, you want NASCAR, drive down Capitol Avenue.
Why?
Capitol Drive, yeah.
Yeah.
Capitol Drive, they got to do something about that.
What's wrong?
Every time I'm on there, I, like, get caught in the middle of a race.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Car on my left,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Highway 102's got that problem.
Yeah. What highway was on today? 94 I was on today. I got caught in the middle of a race.
Two guys racing early in the morning?
There's just people racing all the time.
That's too early to be racing.
I mean, my goodness.
I would say MMA. Back to your question, I would say MMA. I wouldn't want to be in an MMA ring. No, I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, defend yourself, but yeah, that's the auto race or boxing is one thing because you got boxing gloves on. It's still dangerous without a helmet. But MMA, I don't know how they allow for this. There's going to be some lawsuits in the 10 years from now, and these guys who are getting, who are destroying themselves.
It is weird, the juxtaposition.
What? Say that again.
What was that?
The juxta position.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing two things against each other. I'll dumb it down. It is weird that in some sports, the NFL, hey, we don't want head injuries, so we're not even going to let you wear throwback helmets. You have to wear the same helmet every time. And then there's a sport where you win by punching a guy in the head the most.
Yeah.
They don't make any money, well, really, either.
No. And their day is going to come. That first lawsuit, when that first lawsuit comes, they'll be backpedaling like the NFL is doing these days.
Like, if we allow boxing and MMA, how do we not have gladiator fights where we throw people in a pit with lions
that's
and
what
see
we're doing.
If the guy can outlive the lion.
That's what an MMA fight is. These two guys are getting in a ring, a steel cage, and beating each other up. Boxing, I still don't know how these guys don't use headgear, at least.
They do in the Golden Gloves.
Golden Gloves, yes. Olympics, but not on the professional level.
I love fighting. It's awesome. It is. UFC's great.
Well, somebody's going to get killed.
No, they won't.
They'll be good.
They'll be good.
All right, here's a 1A question. Which two guys at the Fan, if you matched them up together in a fight, would have the most competitive boxing match?
How about the one that maybe people would buy a ticket for?
Mm-hmm. Most competitive.
Most competitive.
And then we'll do yours.
I would say Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels.
All right, so two bigger guys. I thought maybe you'd go scrawny like me versus Joe.
Can we bet on it?
No, that wouldn't be fun to watch.
All right, what do you think the fight is that most listeners would want to see?
I'd love to see. Okay, I would say
you and me?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're right. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Well, you're our buddy. You don't want to see
player, right, that friends. Fight would be over in one punch.
Yeah, you'd be done, Bart.
And it would be you punching me.
Well, yeah. I told you.
And I would die.
At least you know it.
And I told you, Dave Hero offered to get us in the ring at one of his Blizzard Brawls one of these years. He's been after it. But all you got to do is say yes.
I would pay for that.
Hit me with your left hand, I'd be done.
Hey, yeah. If Sparky could take a bump,
and a pile driver from Jerry the King Lawler, you could wrestle frames for a 20-minute cage match.
But you know what? Jerry Lawler unfairly dropped Pfeiffer on his head, and he's still paying the price.
What would scare me about that fight is, have you guys ever seen the Royal Rumble where The Rock fights Mankind in the I Quit match, and The Rock just beats his head in with a chair like 40 times and gets a little carried away? Like, they talk about this all the time, that The Rock got carried away. At the end of it, Mankind's trying to walk away, and The Rock takes the chair and just whacks him in the back of the head. I thought he killed him.
Yeah.
He goes down, he's dead, blood's gashing out of his head. I could see Chuck doing that to you, getting a little carried away, where you're going off script a little bit.
They wanted to put us in a steel cage.
I might watch that match
in the steel cage. Mankind, you know, it's going to be sad to see where he's in 15 years from now.
I don't know if I talked to you guys about, like, showing my kid wrestling. That's one match I don't think I could show him.
What's
like
that?
The Hell in a Cell one where Mankind gets, like, thrown off the cage.
I showed that to my kid.
Yeah,
Undertaker threw Mankind, McFoley, right off the top.
That one I will show him.
I don't know how he survived that.
If you go back, watch highlights of that I Quit match. That was the most disturbing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. On with the chlorophyll.
Yeah, that was a time in the 90s when they didn't care.
Question number two. This is in honor of my boy, John Jim Beilein. Do you think it's harder to go from college to the pros in basketball or football as a coach?
Boy, I think in the basketball, the only guy to really do it from college basketball to the pros
is the great Rick Pitino with the Boston Celtics.
No, failure. I would
John
say
John Calipari with the Nets.
Failure. Larry Brown. Larry Brown did. Larry Brown.
Brad Stevens.
Billy Donovan's been doing okay.
Brad Stevens.
No.
Brad Stevens.
But I mean, Brown's won a championship. He won a Kansas, and then he won an NBA championship. So I would say it's tougher to go from college basketball to they're both tough, but college basketball. Remember, Saban tried the Dolphins, and he leaked out after 10 games.
Yeah, that didn't work.
I mean, the great Nick Saban could even do it. Jimmy Johnson made the successful run. He went from the Hurricanes, Miami Hurricanes, went to the Cowboys, and the Super Bowl's there. Even 95 when Switzer won it.
Nick Saban kind of had a raw deal, though, because if they end up getting Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, because, like, if you remember, nobody wanted to sign Brees because of the shoulder surgery when he was leaving the Chargers. He goes to the Dolphins. That might be a different story for Nick Saban if he gets Drew Brees.
Yeah, but Saban quit on his team. There's no...
He didn't get Drew Brees.
Doesn't matter. He quit on his team.
Question number three. Regardless of the roster, which of these players would you most want on your team in an NBA Finals series?
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, or Kevin Durant?
In the NBA Finals, since he's been there before and he's done that, I'd still take LeBron. Now, if I'm starting a team, obviously I'm taking Giannis. But you're talking the NBA Finals? That guy just knows how. You knew the All-Star game the other night. His team was going to find a way to win that game. I just would never bet against LeBron. There's a couple of guys in NBA history, never bet against Bird, Jordan, and LeBron. Those three guys. If you were to tell me I got the one of those guys on the other side, I'm going home.
LeBron's lost a handful of finals.
Sure. But he's been there, and he's a winner. I don't care if he's lost. LeBron's a winner.
I want Horvat to answer on that one. If you were in the NBA Finals, and you could have one player on your team.
Right.
Would you rather have LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, or Durant?
Oh.
LeBron knows how to win. He knows how to win championships. He knows how to lose them, too.
We're talking current LeBron or, like, LeBron
right today.
Today,
LeBron. Yeah.
Now
today,
healthy for Durant.
Give me any of those guys. Give me Kawhi.
I would take Kawhi.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Kawhi. Why?
Bored man.
He doesn't die. He's a killer.
Yeah, because he's the best player in the league right now.
But LeBron, it's hard to take anybody ahead of LeBron.
Right now, LeBron, I would take as my starting point guard over Eric Bledsoe or any other point guard in the league. He's leading the league in assists. He's a distributor. He's a playmaker. But, man, there's just something about Kawhi, and he's a defensive stopper. LeBron picks and chooses when he plays defense.
Yeah.
Kawhi goes hard the whole game.
But
give me Kawhi.
But in the NBA Finals,
although man,
LeBron doesn't quit.
I would go Durant over LeBron as well. Durant's the best scorer on the planet. If Kevin Durant plays last year in the finals, that's a sweep for Golden State.
But
how
I
about
still,
the 10 minutes he did play in that series?
But James,
we're forgetting how good Durant is.
But we're forgetting how the greatness of LeBron.
I'm not. He's great.
Yeah, I would never take Durant over LeBron ever.
LeBron doesn't like to take the big shot, though. Like, go back to the finals, even he wins in Cleveland. Irving takes over. Go back to the finals, he wins in Miami. Dwayne Wade takes over. Ray Allen hits the big shot. It's Chris Bosh making plays at the end
of the
game.
Harvey, if we're going to go play basketball over at the YMCA over on Howard Avenue here, and you have a couple of guys to pick on your team.
Drake Diener. Go on.
Drake Diener.
Oh, I thought we were going local.
Okay. Wow. Didn't even know you knew who that was. Okay.
Oh, I love the Diener brothers.
Okay.
Not as much as you guys
played
love
them. Played
at the Paul.
Lato's first run at the Paul.
Give me... Yeah, that's tough. Like if
I would
playing,
take LeBron.
Okay, pickup ball, I'm taking Kevin Durant. I go back to that tape of him at Rucker Park where he dropped like 81 points. He's the best pickup player in the world. I want Kevin Durant.
See, I take LeBron because he's going to get me involved. He's gonna know where everybody is on offense and defense.
Can I use a lifeline and call Michael Jordan over all these guys?
You may not. NBA insiders voted on this. 6% said Durant, 20% said Giannis, 23% said Kawhi, 46% said they would take LeBron James.
Sportman gets no love.
Question number four. Both of these I'm going to ask you from an entertainment standpoint.
Okay.
From an entertainment standpoint, tell me the top three teams that you would like to see the Bucks face in the NBA Finals.
Of course, the Lakers. Now, can I say it's got to be the Western Conference? If it could be anybody, I'd certainly choose Philadelphia.
Please.
But
the NBA Finals.
The Finals, I would love to see the Bucks play.
Can it be the Brewers?
No.
Can it be the Globetrotters?
No. Say the perfect
the
perfect world.
From an entertainment standpoint.
The perfect world in entertainment.
The Warriors.
Perfect world in an entertainment standpoint, it'd be the hated Philadelphia 76ers.
NBA Finals.
I would say the Lakers, the Clippers. I mean, Utah bores me. I would say then Denver, the top three teams in the West.
I'd like to see Giannis go at Harden for
Well, you know what?
Games.
Maybe that. But you know what? Okay. I'll take that back. I would take Houston over Denver. Because of the Harden factor.
Now, from a competitive standpoint, are you rooting for the Lakers to get there or the Clippers to get there?
I do not want to face LeBron.
I don't want to face Kawhi.
Uh-huh.
I also don't want to face a Lakers team with the motivation of Kobe.
So if the Lakers are playing the Clippers in the conference finals of the West and the Bucks are waiting, you would rather have the Clippers win that series or the Lakers? I would rather the Clippers win.
I think the Bucks. Now, the Kobe thing, they're going to be very motivated, but from a standpoint of matchups, I think the Bucks. I'd rather have them face the Lakers.
Ooh, I don't want to face LeBron.
I don't want to face AD. Lou Williams.
AD.
You do not want to see Lou Williams in a seven-game series.
Well,
I don't want to face Kawhi.
We get taken down by Kawhi for a second year in a row on a different team.
There's a reason Lou Williams was allowed to have two girlfriends at one time. That guy is a walking bucket.
Yeah.
Give me the Lakers. They're old. That like okay, Anthony Davis and LeBron, yeah, but who else on that roster scares you?
You just gave me two guys. That makes up for the other 15.
Right, but look at the Clippers roster. They got more playmakers.
Yeah,
Lakers
still the best team in the West Conference.
From an entertainment standpoint, question number five. Which of these teams that are eligible would you like to see on Hard Knocks this next spring training camp, whatever it's called,
sure,
on HBO? The Detroit Lions. These are the teams that are eligible. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars. The Arizona Cardinals. The Denver Broncos or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you want to see on Hard Knocks?
God. Actually, none of them. But I would say the Detroit Lions, since they're on our division.
Get a little insight what's going on there.
I'd say the Detroit Lions. But, I mean, Jacksonville, they might as well just extract that team out of the league.
I don't know. I want to see the Foles versus Minshew battle,
You talk about taking a nap. I would take a nap during that episode. Arizona, I like Kyler Murray.
I want to see what Kingsbury's like.
Yeah. That might be the only intrigue part of that. Denver, no. Pittsburgh
Steelers.
What about
your boy Mike Tomlin?
I like Tomlin. It's just his quarterbacks, other than Big Banna, suck.
What about Duck?
Terrible. I told you he's the worst coach in NFL history. Worst quarterback in NFL history.
He's up there.
Awful.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's five for Freems.
Five good ones.
David Stearns joining us.
Good job.
Well, he joined us. If you missed that, we have that for you right now. David Stearns, general manager of the Brewers here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Bill Michaels. You are listening to Chuck and Winkler right here on The Fan. And make sure to check out me, The Bill Michaels Show, coming up this morning starting at 10. It is your home for real Wisconsin sports fans, a radio.com sports station.
Perkins Burger, Fries, and Pie promo is back and better than ever. For a limited time, grab any Perkins Burger, crispy golden fries, and a slice of their famous pie. It's dinner, dessert, and a deal you'll only find at Perkins.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman from the Bryant Stratton College Athletic Studios. David Stearns, general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. David Stearns, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Thanks, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to talk to you as we're ready to kick off the season here. You know, we're kind of like this. We've been used to winning here the last three seasons, playoffs the last 2 years. But I think we're a little skeptical because we're a little worried that there was so much turnover going into the season. So much player turnover, 14, 15 new guys. Did you expect this when last season ended that you'd be turning the roster over as much as you've done so far?
Well, I'll tell you, we like winning too, and we like competing, and certainly that's our expectation as an organization is to compete year in and year out for division championships and playoff appearances, and we've been able to do that over the last 3 years. Certainly our belief is that we're going to be able to do that again this year. There has been significant roster turnover, and candidly, we have a lot of turnover most off seasons. We have a lot of turnover during the season often where we're sending players back and forth to AAA. We generally are a pretty transactional organization, and we make trades during the season. So our coaching staff has proven that they're exceptionally capable of getting a team to gel, of continuing the positive culture that we've had here in the past, and we believe we'll be able to do that again.
We have such a passionate fan base. And I'm, you know, we're wrapped up in it. You know, Chuck and I work in the media. We're not going to pretend like we don't root for the, we care a lot about how the Brewers do. It affects us quite a bit. And we take calls and, you know, we kind of fan the flames ourselves. And I think the concern that there is with the makeup of this team from now to a year ago, we always come back to the payroll that Mike Moustakas was here and Grandal was here. And then these guys depart, and now you've got these guys that if they have a good season, they can maybe make up for that. And I think the consensus has been like it feels like the Brewers have gone forward, and this year almost feels like a step back based on the payroll alone. Why is this year not going to be a step back?
We believe we have a really talented roster, and certainly we've lost some players from last year. But as I've said, we generally have some roster turnover. And the key for us is when we make investments, significant investments, especially in the free agent market, they have to be really wise investments. We can't chase the market. We can't chase players, regardless of how much they may have contributed to our team in any single given year. And certainly you mentioned guys like Grandal and Moustakas. Those guys gave a lot to our organization. They were a big part of our team last year. We also recognize that we're not always going to be able to keep those types of players here, and that's something that this franchise, even before I got here, has dealt with very well. And we've been able to regenerate talent within the organization. We've been able to make some free agent signings that we think are going to help continue the string of competitiveness that we've had here. But certainly I recognize that we had a couple of really good players who walked out the door and went to other teams. I certainly don't ignore that. And so it's then my job to put the best team we can together that then our opinion allows us to achieve our ultimate goal, which is continued and sustained success.
Talking with Brewers general manager David Stearns, I mean, just doing the radio show, whether it's baseball or football or basketball, it's always somehow we're always talking a lot more about money than I ever thought we would in doing a sports show. When you guys are trying to find the best fit for this team, you have to look at the multi-year deals. You have to look at the single-year deals. You have to look at who's going to be a fit. How much does the financial aspect impact each and every decision? Is it more than you'd like it to be? Is it less? Obviously, it does play a role into what you guys do just by the nature of the sport. It just, if we're frustrated with it, I would think that you guys in the front office have to be a little bit too.
No, I don't think there's frustration. I think there's a recognition that regardless of what business you're running, whether it's within sports or outside of sports, there are going to be budgets and there are going to be financial capabilities. And so it's our job to operate within those financial capabilities. And our ownership group has been incredibly supportive. Whenever we've gone to them with what we think is a really wise investment opportunity, we did that a year ago with Yasmani Grandal and Mike Moustakis, and signings that far exceeded what our original budget was slated to be. And our ownership group was very supportive. As we looked throughout the free agent landscape this year, those type of big name signings really didn't materialize for us this year. So we were able to spread some of those resources around, gather up a number of major league free agents who we think are going to be able to impact the team. And we're very optimistic going into this season because of that work that we've been able to do in the offseason.
David, it seems like there's a lot of positions where, at least going into the season, platoon, you look at third base, first base, and a few other spots too, that you don't have really a set lineup, I think, going into the season.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. I think there are probably more positions this year that will be some form of timeshares based on matchup. Some of those will evolve over the course of the year as we get to know how players are playing, as we evaluate performance. But you're right, there's probably not quite as a stable lineup every single day that maybe we went into last year with. And that's okay. We won 96 games a couple of years ago with lineups that were matched up very regularly based on who was pitching for the opposing team, who we were playing, health of guys, how particular players were performing. And we were able to put together a really competitive club that had a really special year. So I believe we have certainly the capability to mix and match like that. I think we've got a really deep team. And so in those positions where there might be more of a split duty, might be more of a timeshare, I think we're equipped to handle that.
You know, you said during the winter there wasn't any pieces out there through free agency that you thought, you know, economically fit what you guys want to do, your plan. But since you guys are under budget right now, it looks like, compared to what it was, you know, in years gone by, if you guys just, can you take the attitude that, hey, if we hang in the race, we're in the race, when comes July, we can go out there and if we have to take on some salary, we're able to do it because we didn't spend it off in the offseason. In fact, we slashed our payroll.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns at all about if we're competitive in July and looking to add, that we're going to have the space to do it. I think that's something that our ownership group has been tremendously supportive with since I've been here. It's something that Mark and I have talked about specifically about this season, where there may be some acquisition opportunities mid-season. And so, yes, I think we will have the room when and if an appealing buying opportunity comes around this season.
When there was so much changeover on the team, did Mark, who, you know, he obviously has got full confidence in you, and I know when he first came aboard, you made a lot of changes, and Mark had to kind of hold his breath at first because he wasn't used to that. Does he, when you made all these changes in the offseason, did he, like, look at it and say, oh, boy, what are we doing here?
No, I think Mark understands our process, and we're in regular communication. He understands how we're running the organization. He understands our baseball operations goals, and he trusts us. And so I think Mark recognized what our offseason strategy was, understood how we evaluate potential free agent signings, how we were going to operate within certain parameters, and he's been very supportive throughout.
Brewers GM David Stearns joining us, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. We know what happened with some of the pitchers this last week. Josh Hader in the arbitration case does not get the target he was looking for. You guys avoid arbitration with Brent Suter. That is a uniquely baseball issue. Craig Counsell, a little outspoken, not a big fan of the process. Is it time for baseball to look elsewhere, or is that the best process that you can have in this sport in determining how these guys are supposed to get a pay bump each and every year?
You know, it's a really interesting part of our game in that I think everyone involved agrees it's not a good process, and that's been the case for as long as I've been in the industry. I don't think anyone likes the arbitration process on the club side, on the player side, management side, union side. But for whatever reason, it still exists, and the two sides haven't been able to come together to figure out an appropriate substitute. We've been pretty successful at garnering settlements here since I've been here. We've had somewhere around 50 or so arbitration eligible players over my time here, and we've only gone to two hearings, so that's a pretty good success rate at settlements. And on occasion, and we found one this year with Josh, where you just can't line up, and then the process is designed to actually go through and go to an arbitration hearing. But you know, from your question, is this something that everyone thinks works? No, I think everyone understands on both sides that this isn't a great process. Unfortunately, there just hasn't come up with a better solution.
So basically, it is like every other job in America. Yeah. There's something that nobody likes, but they all kind of still keep doing it.
The farm system, do you look at it like, you had one of the top farm systems in baseball a few years ago, but obviously some of these guys are on the team. You traded some of those away to get parts to help, you know, get to the postseason a few years. So, you know, I get that. What is the process? What's the state of the farm system as you going forward here? Because a lot of those great pieces, as I mentioned, are gone.
Yeah, I think. Look, we made some big trades. We traded four of our top six or eight prospects in what at that point was the top ranked farm system in all of baseball. We traded four of those guys for Christian Yelich. That was a big bet on Christian Yelich, and Christian has clearly repaid us for that level of prospect investment in him. Elsewhere, we've made trades in season. And as you mentioned, we've had a number of players graduate to the major leagues and make very substantial impacts, whether that's a Brandon Woodruff, a Keston Hira, Freddie Peralta, Adrian Hauser, guys who composed what had been ranked as a very, very high system are now helping us at the major league level. We still think we've got a very quality system, a system with a lot of depth, a system that's pretty young, and so you'll see a number of these younger players begin to work their way through our system and ultimately approach the major leagues. But we understand we're not at the same level in terms of overall system depth and talent as we may have been 3 or 4 years ago. But we're a much better major league team, and we've got a couple of playoff appearances and really competitive seasons to show for it. So we'll certainly take that trade-off while understanding that it's now our obligation to continue to restock the farm system and have that consistent pipeline help us produce at the major league level.
David Stearns on Chuck and Winkler. You know, we talk about, you know, how's this guy and this money and this system. You're the general manager of this ball club. You oversee all these different teams. And I would think the hardest part of that is the human part of it. Like, you know, you see these guys running around the clubhouse with their kids. I forget who it was, but I just saw a video of one of the guys was like changing his kid's diaper on the batting cage the other day. And there's guys that, you know, go through struggles like we saw with Travis Shaw, but you really, you know, you want to root for these guys and you want to give them every opportunity that you can. How do you, I mean, how, without having to go, you know, to a therapist, I guess, it would wreck me. How do you compartmentalize that where you have a business to run, but then you get to know these guys and their families? I would just think that would be the hardest part of the whole thing.
Well, I think the human part of it is important, and I think one of the reasons we've had some success here is because we recognize the human aspect. We recognize some of the stresses and challenges that players have, and we try to help them work through that. And so when you see a player struggle, a player that you've gotten to know very well, a player, like you said, you see their kids, you know their families. We try to help them work through their struggles. We try to stay loyal to our players. At the same time, certainly we have an obligation to the organization and frankly to our fan base to make the best baseball decision possible. But we recognize there are balances there, and we recognize that these are human beings and they're working really hard and they care an awful lot. And so from purely a matter of respect, we owe it to them to care equally about them.
It's been an interesting time. Last one for you, David Stearns, Brewers general manager. I mean, everything that's gone on in this offseason has been centered around a team that you're familiar with in the Astros. So, and now it's come out, at least the commissioner has hinted that while these players aren't going to receive any penalty,
If you like hit one of the guys as a pitcher, you could get in trouble. Oh, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I mean, this whole off season, I don't think that it's been handled as well as it could have been handled, David. And I don't know what your thoughts are on the whole situation and seeing guys you know go through this.
Sure. Look, I think first and foremost, my thoughts are this isn't good for the game. And we need to focus on the players. We need to focus on the competition that's going on the field. And at any time when there is any hint that the integrity of that competition has been compromised, as clearly it was in this case, that's a major problem for the sport, and it's a major problem for the industry, and it's something that collectively we need to address to fix and to make sure it never happens again. So that's really where my mind has been, is this is not good for the game. It's not good for the sport. I think we all, in these positions, try to be custodians for the sport at large, and in this case, we need to figure out a way to make sure that the attention gets back on fair, regulated, and competition with integrity.
Brewers General Manager David Stearns, best of luck to you as we're all trying to see the same thing here, a World Series title, a parade down Wisconsin Avenue, and we would love to see you guys do that. Appreciate it, and we hope to talk again soon.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate the time.
Part one of what's going to be a 10-part series of interviews with David Stearns. I'm telling you right now, we will talk to him again, and we will continue to unpeel that onion. Now, we talked to him yesterday, and bringing that to you, those that didn't hear it, want to hear it again. You can still hear it. Share it. 1057FMTheFan.com and the Radio.com app. He joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, if your passion's outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. Ken Rosenthal, we know him, baseball writer, accomplished, has an article at The Athletic talking about some of the arbitration cases. And we bring this up now. We did ask Stearns about the arbitration. He says it's a process no one likes, but you kind of got to go through that process. Well, here's what Ken Rosenthal had to say. Zach Britton, Yankees reliever, star closer turned setup man, he had said Josh Hader got screwed because of saves only. Josh Hader was asking for some $6.4 million. The Brewers wanted to pay him $4.1. They took it to the arbitrator. He said $4.1. They're going with the Brewers. Hader got screwed because of saves. That's what Britton thinks. We know that Hader did have a lot of saves last year, but he's not. It's just one season, and he's not primarily used as a closer when the Brewers have another guy, but he's coming in the most important spots. The Brewers have said that. Rosenthal mentions in this piece, the club side, the Brewers, in the arbitration hearing, mentioned Hader's racist, homophobic, misogynistic, and threatening tweets from when he was 17, according to sources. He notes David Stearns did not attend the hearing, even though it took place not far from the team's complex in Phoenix. Others did argue the case. One of the other criteria in arbitration is public appeal. So the tweets were not the crux of the Brewers case. The team, after all, did have a sold-out Hader bobblehead night in 2019. But the fact that they brought it up at all, Now, again, not condoning any of the tweets.
All-Star Game 2018.
Some were lyrics to songs, but he can't be.
Sure.
We got to realize that
he's
social
apologized.
Media is public.
Yes.
But for the Brewers to use that, or even for the Brewers to even mention those tweets in the hearing at all, whether it's the crux of their argument or not, I think that's kind of shocking.
It's despicable, I think. So they're sitting down to this, and then Hader, who we all thought that we moved on from that incident, and we agree it was horrible, okay? Some of the things he said, yes, and he was sincerely apologetic for it, okay, and paid the price for it. So for them to come back, and this has nothing to do with his pitching. This does not have anything to do with how many times he saved his ass, the Brewers' ass, over the years, and how many situations, and having to go two or three innings. He has earned any pay raise he deserves. Whether it's $6 million, $4 million, he deserves $15 million. I told you this before. But for the Brewers to come at and say, we're not going to give you this pay raise you're not going to earn the extra $2 million because of this, because your tweets from when you were 17. Come on. So it tells me the Brewer organization has not moved on. Why would they want to bring this up again?
Well, they're finding any reason. And again, they didn't use it as the
That's being cheap.
Basis of the. Well, it is being cheap. Look, they had a bobblehead night for him.
Yeah.
So they sell jerseys of him. But then when it's time, they don't want to pay Hader. I've thought this for 2 years now. They don't want to pay Hader because he's a reliever, and they think that he's going to, at some time, regress or his arm's going to blow out, just like every reliever that the Brewers have ever had have done. And they want to get everything out of him before that happens. They've got these guys, young, controllable talent. They've got these guys for years. They've got 3 more years of arbitration with Hader. And if you give him $6 million, yeah, then that's the jumping-off point for next year and the year after that and the year after that. But this is a guy who's probably been the most valuable guy, at least in your pitching staff for sure, mm-hmm. in the last couple of seasons, and you don't want to pay him. Now, that being aside, look at some of the ramifications. If I'm another guy, another pitcher, and I know that they want to use me in this case, did you see about Drew Pomeranz? He was interviewed by Robert Murray recently.
Yeah.
And he said he was so mad he was a reliever at first. He was like, prove it. That's why Drew Pomeranz was good as a Brewer, because he was so mad at the Brewers for having him be a reliever. These guys want to work in a good environment. If you're telling your other teammates, hey, you can pitch like this, and we've shown you with Hader, we're going to do everything we can not to pay you. And then if you're Josh Hader and you know this, why do I want to go pitch for this team and work my ass for this team that won't reward me financially when it comes time to do that? And will use everything they can to block me from paying. I think if I'm Josh Hader, I'm looking at the Brewers with an untrusting eye.
I'm also looking at it that the moment I do become a free agent, I'm getting the hell out. I'm getting the hell out. Because why do I have
to fine. Brewers are going to tell you fine because that's not for another 3-4 years.
Okay.
And they assume he's going to have his arm blown up.
Well, then demand a trade. I mean, why would you want to work for a company that disrespects you like this? They obviously disrespect him. Sure, they love Josh when he's pitching 2 or 3 innings in a game and getting out of bases loaded, no out situations. Okay, they love him. He has saved them 3 years in a row now, has been their guy. Their most valuable player, other than Christian Yelich, has been Josh Hader. What's the question each night? Hey, is Hader available? Oh, he's not available. Man, oh, they've used Hader 3 days in a row. Is he going to be available tonight? Hader is the second most important guy on that team, next to Christian Yelich. And for them to come out there and to bring that up as a weapon, that, wow, you know, your tweets from 2011 or wherever it was, you know, back when you were a kid, a 17-year-old kid, we don't know if we give you this pay raise because, you know, these comments you said. I thought the organization was standing behind him. I thought the players were standing behind him. I thought we moved forward from this. For them to go back in time now and use this against him in the contract negotiations, yeah, if I'm coming out of the bullpen, I'm thinking, why do I want to put my arm on the line for these people who obviously don't care about me?
Monday morning, 6 a.m. when we're on the air right after the pregame show. What is the top thing we're talking about Monday? Brewers have a ball game. Are we breaking down that?
NXT.
Bucks Sixers. NXT's here this weekend.
Ended on an angry note today with this Hader news, though.
Yeah, actually, you guys started talking sports, and I was done.
Was that when you got your nap?
Yes, that was my nap. When we went to Mighty Ducks to sports, I've been tuned out.
6 a.m., what are we talking about?
6 a.m.?
I'm thinking Bucks beating Sixers.
Bucks beating the Sixers by 21 points.
Orvi?
The fight. Boxing. Fight? Actually, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Monday, all boxing.
Okay.
Combat sports.
The Defenders, D.C., plays Sunday night, so I'll be on.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.